Millions of people have lost weight with personalized plans from Noom, like Evan, who can't stand salads and still lost 50 pounds.
Salads generally for most people are the easy button, right? For me, that wasn't an option. I never really was a salad guy. That's just not who I am. But Noom worked for me.
Get your personalized plan today at Noom.com. Real Noom user compensated to provide their story. In 4 weeks, the typical Noom user can expect to lose 1 to 2 pounds per week. Individual results may vary.
Only one I know. Well,
you got to make a plant joke with it then.
Stalk. Easy.
There you go.
Easy. Give me another one.
Hello and welcome to the Lore Boys, the Yule Tide Boys. We made it to a whole new year of 2024. My name's James Miller, and who else is here?
I'm Ethan. I'm desperately clicking through Discord channels because I thought I posted the link to the bonus episode, and I don't see it in our chat. So I'm like, did I post it in another chat that any of the listeners can go download our paid content that you can get access to at patreon.com/theloreboys?
I don't see it in anything Prime or below, but on this laptop, I cannot scroll up because I need to unplug my mouse to plug in my mic. But that's a problem of this world, of this Terra. And we're going to be talking about a different kind of world today called Terraria.
Terraria. So, Pete's not here. Something autoerotic asphyxiation. I will say, like, we've been playing Terraria since the start of the holidays, I guess you could say. Jamie and I both had a week off of work for the holidays.
Decided to
spin up. Well, Mr. Fancy Pants over here decided to take a week off, huh? I didn't. So I was like, well, for the week that I'm off, we dropped $5 and bought a dedicated server. Mm-hmm. Been playing through it. Accidentally created an expert mode server first when neither of us had any Terraria experience, and just got our shit pushed in. Yep. On some of the bosses, like, over and over and over. And we're just like scratching our heads, like, how can this game be so hard? How can we be so bad at it?
So yeah, it sold 50 million copies. So likely, if you are a gamer and you're listening to this, you probably own it already. Check all your accounts. You might own it somewhere. But if you do it yourself and you're just starting a fresh game, like new characters, it's fine just to play on a classic character on a classic server or a normal server. Because we also went on medium core, which means you drop your items every time you die, which I get it. It's kind of risky, but at the end of the day, it just means you're running back to your body a lot. And
yeah.
Ethan was saying you might as well go hardcore if you're going to do
It was a mistake. Oh, I figured out where I posted the bonus audio. I DM'd it back to Craig, the bot who records it for us, and sent me the link in the first
place. Very good. Very good.
At time of recording, I have 11 Terraria wiki, terraria.fandom.com tabs open from different crafting recipes and what you're supposed to be doing when, basically.
Yeah, I just definitely get mileage off the second screen there for all the things you're looking up, like watching movies at the same time while you're just building a bridge across hell or whatever. I definitely put in a ton of time too. I put in more time the first week, I think, than the second week, just because I got sick, which is why I sound like this. But been having a lot of fun with it.
Well, yeah, you put it down when the corruption took over your base and you said, nuts to this game.
Yeah.
Never playing it again.
Oh, it's just it's frustrating. Well, I guess before we get into I do want to talk about that stuff. Okay. But for people who don't know what Terraria is, like, if you had to describe Terraria to just
2D Minecraft.
2D Minecraft. That's a great way to put it. With more boss fights, I would say.
Yeah, more boss fights, more like mob grinding, like more drops, right?
Yeah.
Whereas Minecraft is more crafting. There is crafting in Terraria, but a lot of the crafting is based on, like, you have to farm these monsters to get the right drops, more like ARPG, like Diablo-esque or something like that, where you're just kind of, you might just be grinding the same mobs trying to get the drop that you're looking for, basically, right?
That's it. Yeah. And like maybe you're just killing slimes to farm slime or something, but then you could get like a 1 in 2,000 drop, like a slime pet that you didn't know existed. But there's like, so there's always this element of like really rare loot out there that you could get at any given time, which is fun.
Yeah.
As well as gear. Minecraft, sure, there's gear, there's enchanting. It doesn't feel as important as it does in.
There's not like named gear, right? Like there's named like unique drops in Terraria, whereas Minecraft is like, no, you get the diamond armor and you put your enchantments on it. You get the netherite armor and you put your enchantments on it, right? But like, it's still just like generic material armor. Whereas this is like very much like you get the Terra Blade, which builds into the Zenith, you know, and you get the lightning boots and like, which come as drops, and you can't necessarily. You and like even the crafting, it's not like you just get raw materials to craft those things. It's you combine items to get like you combine drops, which just drop from enemies to get those things.
Right. And it's not very clear. So if you're ever going to start this on your own, definitely keep the wiki up. And anytime you have a question, just Google it, because it's a steep learning curve. But like when as you get into it, I find you get just more and more invested. And
I feel like there is like for sure there's some people out there who will get enjoyment from playing it blind, but to me, and I feel like this about a lot of games, like if I play a lot of JRPGs, like if I'm playing a Final Fantasy game nowadays, like not for the first time, if I'm like going back and beating Final Fantasy 6 again, or Final Fantasy 4, like 6 is a bad example because I know that game too well. Let's say I'm playing Final Fantasy 4, like I'm gonna pull up a strategy guide because I'm like, played through this game before, I've beaten it before, I want to get the thing. You know what I mean? And I'm just going to play. And I'm like, when I have a question about something, I'm like, what is this thing? I'm just going to look it up because I'm old. I have a kid. I don't have that much free time. I don't want to waste time in a video game, if that makes sense, even though.
Well, when it's easily avoidable, too. It's like, oh, I had to talk to the guy who's standing behind the king before moving on to like walking halfway across the world to this other thing. Mm-hmm. And now if I didn't look that up, then I had to walk all the way there and then walk all the way back. And
And Terraria can be bad for that for sure, because you'll get so many items. And like, it's not an easy game. Like, none of the bosses are free, really. Like, but it's like, you'll get so many items. And like, unless you like, check like open your inventory at the crafting table and you grab every item that could possibly combine because it fits in the same slot, and like it's not like you can see partially completed recipes, right? You can't see like, oh, I have 4 or 5 of the pieces for this piece. You have to have every single piece on you at the time when you go to a crafting table to know that it's even an item that exists in the game, you know?
So I think there is a button you can press that says, what can I craft with this thing?
I saw that in a YouTube video.
But even then, you would have to go through all your individual things and be like, what can I craft with this thing?
That would still be a much more enjoyable way of trying to figure this out. Just blindly doing it like I have been doing when I haven't Googled something. But
there's like a million features that you wouldn't get unless you've played the game long enough or watched other people play. Like I found there's a ruler feature in the top left, which I played 40 hours of it at this point, and I didn't know there's a ruler to help you out with building and things like that. And there's like a housing check button. Like if you click on the right side where there's a house just above your inventory, you can like check if housing are valid houses for NPCs. And,
yeah, that one I knew, but that one I found him.
Yeah. There's like a, anyways, it's super deep game. You can go in and just dig a hole, have fun, or you could get super into crafting and build like a perfect world and stuff. I'm having a ton of fun with it right now. Ethan, you're right. The corruption, which is like something they added in, I think 1.3 or 1.4, I forget, but is basically a mechanic where you either get the corruption of the crimson and it lives in your world and it spreads, it corrupts and eats like into other biomes and stuff like that.
It spreads slowly until you get to hard mode. So when you beat the boss Wall of Flesh, hard mode starts, which just means in the world, much more difficult enemies and bosses start spawning. And when you get to hard mode, it spreads at twice the rate, which we didn't realize, or I didn't realize at least. But apparently when you beat Plantera, it slows down again to one time. So apparently it is slower.
And there's that gun you can get to like shoot
the Clintaminator. I bought the Clintaminator today, and I started spraying down, hosing down your base for you.
I appreciate it.
I was also using, because I have like So how you stop the crimson from contaminating your base is essentially you just like dig a hole that's 4 or 5 wide straight down to hell, and it can't jump across the gap, essentially, right?
Yeah.
So and it's so funny. I do remember. So I had dealt with you get NPCs who spawn in the game, and you build houses for them, and they live in places, and they can sell you stuff or give you quests and things like that. And you want to spread them out, because if you have 2 NPCs living in a house, you can buy a pylon for that house, which you can teleport to, as long as there's 2 NPCs living nearby.
So you build 2 nice little houses, and then you have a fast travel to that biome.
Exactly. So I had the ocean biome, and the fisherman was living there, and he was very happy, and I was waiting to get somebody to live with him. And then I realized one day, like, oh, he's no longer living in his house. He came to live like in the center of the map, very far from the ocean. I was like, that's weird. Flew all the way out there because I couldn't teleport there because there's no NPCs. And then it turns out he's like completely corrupted. So I spent like an hour and a half trying to like beat it back. This is before I knew like what it was or this could happen.
Was
and then
it
I realized
you who like got rid of all the sand, or was that the corruption?
Yeah, so the whole thing is I'm trying to dig under it, but sand in Terraria, when you dig blocks under it, like in Minecraft, it falls. Yeah. So like sand is actually the worst one to try and dig out from the corruption, because you have to break every single block. You can't just like dig a line underneath.
You can build ahead of yourself like a wood or something, so then the sand stops falling if you build like a wood platform.
Oh, that makes sense. Yeah.
Yeah.
That's smart. Yeah.
But it's still a pain in the ass. It's still
anyway,
a pain in the ass.
Yeah, I didn't realize that. But so he had teleported away, and then I was like, oh shit, I told you about it. I was like, that could happen apparently. And then we had our jungle house, which was to the... You spawn in the center of the map. There's oceans in the far east and the far west. And it was like ocean at the far west. And then it was a corruption next to that. And then it was the jungle next to that. And our jungle house had gotten corrupted, and our NPCs moved away from there. I was like, oh, fuck, we're losing our pylon network. Our pylon network is going down, you know?
Your jungle will always be either to the left or the right of you. And then depending on where your jungle is, the winter will be the opposite.
Okay.
The jungle and winter are always opposite themselves.
There you go. Yeah. But I so distinctly remember working on that. And like I've saved the jungle house. If you want to see how to save it, Jamie, like
I've
you
seen can go it, see yeah.
it is safe now. But I cleared out like a ton of space, and I had spent, before realizing like I had to like clear these sections, I was just like spreading dust all over the place, which like cures the corruption, but in very small patches. I probably spent like an hour and a half just like clearing, beating it back. And I remember telling you, hey, this is right next to your place. It's going to come for you.
Yeah.
Flippantly ignored my warning.
No, I remember I started to, there's a hole under my house where I started digging.
Oh, yeah.
And then I was like, ugh, it's 11 p.m. Do I really want to spend the next 2 hours just like fixing this?
Yeah.
And the answer was no. So I went to go do something else. And then I logged in, and it has completely eaten into my whole home. I don't have fast travel anymore.
And Jamie had not had fast travel for like most of the server life. Like once we reset the world,
set it up, I lose it.
As soon as he sets it up, it's the contamination spreads and it hits his house.
And another thing that set me back is we played together yesterday, right? I think it was yesterday.
This morning. Was it today?
I don't think I was up this morning.
No, it was yesterday. You're right.
Yeah.
Yeah, sorry.
Yeah.
Not that it matters.
No, it does matter. But anyways, we played together and we fought Duke Fishron, who's like a summonable like flying pig fish that you can get from it's a certain boss. And we both died like at 1%. We almost got it. Ethan did so most cool. of the carrying. I was just like, I didn't do enough damage or whatever. I lost all my stuff. I go back and pick it up, and then Ethan's like, oh, I think the baby is crying or something. He's like, I'll be back in a little bit. I'm like, okay, I'll log out. So I'm wearing like my replacement stuff that I went to go get all my stuff in, and all my stuff's in my inventory. And then I equipped all my stuff before logging out. So I had my full chlorified armor on. Whenever I log back in, I'm wearing all my replacement stuff, and there's nothing in my inventory. I lost all my weapons. I lost my best.
Oh my God, dude.
My best armor. I lost.
That's brutal.
I lost a pet.
I've had
so
plenty
much
of server hiccups that have caused us to lose stuff. Nothing near that much though. Holy
no,
Lord.
I lost everything. So like I logged in that night, like an hour later. And then I was like, okay, well maybe if the server hiccuped, then my stuff's still on the ground. Right. So I went all the way back and there's nothing there. And I lost everything, man. The weapons is like the chlorophyte I can get again. The weapons is the really annoying part. Because you had found the Daedalus bow.
I have 2 more Daedalus bows in my chest, so we're good there.
Okay, cool.
Yeah.
And that Uzi is really good, too, once I upgrade it.
That came from a Martian probe, so I don't know where. I don't know when we'll get another one of those.
Okay.
I have enough chlorophyte though for you to make a full set armor out of
two. Okay. Well, maybe
that one alone.
Maybe I'll log in after this and regroup a little bit. I got that's why I was like doubly frustrated. Last night I saw you on and it's like, oh, it's New Year's. Maybe I should just go hang out with my friend and like ring in New Year's together. Maybe he'll still be up for noon or something, or for midnight. But then I was like, oh fuck, I can't log into the game right now, man. I'm just too mad. I lost all my things.
I wasn't on. I didn't come back on afterwards. I just left it running.
Okay, cool.
I went to bed at 10:30 last night.
Okay.
For New Year's Eve. That's what being a dad is like. David, friend of the show, moderator of our Discord, requested that I do dad lore. That's what it's like being a dad. You go to bed 10:30 on New Year's Eve because it took 5 hours to get your daughter to bed the night before.
Yeah, you grab them Z's where you can, man.
Exactly. Although last night, New Year's Eve, we had partied her out. She slept for a solid 11 hours. She never does. So we feel great today.
Hey, that's awesome. Mm-hmm. Okay. Well, this has kind of been our experience with Terraria and stuff. I can't see. How are we doing on time? I wonder if it's worth taking a break now or not.
We're probably like an hour and 50 minutes in. It's 15 minutes on the clock.
Okay, no, we got some time. So I can hop in with some early Terraria lore. So the game came out like 2011.
Okay.
So imagine what's coming out. Come out? Just before. Minecraft was like in the general knowledge right then.
And Minecraft was November 18th, 2011.
Yeah.
The first Minecraft was released for PC players on May 17th. 2019, and it was called Cave Game. There you go. After going through alpha and beta versions, the full version. Oh, sorry, 2009. Yeah, sorry. And that was when it was called Cave Game. It wasn't called Minecraft at the time. And then it went through an alpha and a beta, and it was fully released on November 18th, 2011.
There you go. So that was the idea. They seen enough of Minecraft. They're like, what if Minecraft, but action platformer like Mario or something?
Terraria technically came out before Minecraft.
Yeah.
Came out in May.
And that wasn't because they wanted to release it when they did. I think the guy had been working on it for 5 months and then sent it to a YouTuber to try it out just to get some feedback. Yeah. And it leaked.
Okay.
And people were like, the game's not even that fun. And he's like, it's not even close to done. So they stepped on the gas and at the 7 month mark, they released a game that was fun and playable. So that's how Terraria got pushed out. And ever since then, now it's 2024 and they're still updating the game.
Yeah. I think the last update came very recently, right?
Yeah. Yeah. It's a guy. So there's one guy who's the programmer and then his wife does all the art assets and all of the.
Oh, that's the way cute. I didn't know that. How lovely.
Yeah. This is very nice. He almost moved on, and the wife was like, no, 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 there's more to it here. And they stuck to the game, which worked out well for them. 50 million copies sold. It doesn't matter how much you spend. You would even charge for a game when you sell 50 million of them like that.
Yeah, but, right?
Yeah. So, yeah, really good for them. It's one of those games that keeps winning the Labor of Love Steam Award.
Okay.
Because they just keep putting updates out and it's always free. Like you never have to buy Terraria DLC. What else is about that game? So now they didn't even have lore until 2019. So it was 8 years until they got lore. Okay. And they just gave us a few pages of lore. It's not that much, but that's what today's stuff's going to be based off of. You can also argue with people about the lore because the developers said stuff in Discord about the lore before they put the official lore out. So a lot of people say, no, no, the official lore came last. Everybody got to look at it. The comments people made in Discord in 2014 don't count anymore. But
now we're letting Discord moderators tell us how to live our lives.
Yeah, it's bad. It's dire straits, man. So yeah, that's one example of that, which we'll get to later, is like the cultists that we're at in our game right now, whether or not they are good guys or bad guys. Some are saying they're trying to keep Cthulhu away, and some people say they are trying to summon Cthulhu.
Okay.
But Cthulhu, that'll make a...
Is Cthulhu in the game? Is this like, are we jumping too far ahead at this point?
Now I am. So how about let me go back to the very beginning where we start a story with Cthulhu.
Okay.
Yeah.
So we're not jumping ahead. We're going to talk about Cthulhu.
Yeah. We're sort of, Cthulhu comes in and out a lot, okay. But yeah, it's incomprehensible, the lore, and scary. Oh. Yeah.
Yeah. Sounds like Cthulhu.
Yep. So a long, long time ago, many races lived together in harmony, including human, lizards, which is spelled a weird way, but pronounced
lizard. It's like if a lizard getting in a bath.
Lizard. Oh, a lizard probably would love a warm bath, wouldn't they?
No, I feel like water would probably stress them out, right?
Really?
Like, I know fennec foxes who live in the desert, like, you're not supposed to bathe them because it... apparently. And I don't know how people know what makes a animal anxious, but
yeah,
some people will claim that it would make them very nervous to get them wet because they're not used to it. They just don't know. They don't know, you know, they live in the desert. Lizards for sure. Salamanders, they love it.
You know who wouldn't get wet is our last group of people, the dryads.
All right, so there's a dryad you can recruit as an NPC in the game, and you can, here's a fun fact for you, you can fish up, there's a random item you can fish up called Joja Cola, which is an item from Stardew Valley. And if you fish it up and the dryad is nearby when you fish it up, she insists on purifying it. And she opens a portal to Stardew Valley and you get a Junimo pet, who are the little forest spirits from Stardew Valley.
That's super cute. I didn't know that. Wow. There's a ton of secrets in this game too, which is really great.
I love that Cardi B song, Dryad Ass Pussy.
Dap. Oh my god. Yeah, so we have our humans, our lizards, and our dryads are all hanging out, whether in the water or not. They're on Terraria probably.
Mm-hmm.
And one day Cthulhu, an ancient moon deity, so it's a moon, Cthulhu's tied to the moon in this universe,
okay,
arrived from an unknown origin and started wreaking havoc upon the realm. So you can imagine Cthulhu coming in on either the east or the west coast, and causing some havoc in Terraria.
Mm-hmm.
So there's the lizards. They constructed a temple that the beast couldn't breach, which we know as the jungle temple that's underground, or the dungeon, or I don't know what to call it exactly, but it's a structure built deep underground in the jungle where the only place you can find lizards in game today.
Okay.
Which we did the other night. Since the moon lord was a moon deity, the temple was guarded by a sun golem, who we also fought.
Yes, we did.
Yeah. Many of his drops are sun related. Like, I think we got the sun ray, which was like a magical pistol.
Yeah, I know. So in the lizard temple, you get tablet fragments, which let you summon a solar eclipse.
Right.
Which, and like, solar, all the horror movie monsters come out when you do. You get there's Eraserhead and nice. the guy with all the needles in his face, and there's Frankenstein, and there's a butcher in a pig mask. I got a vanity costume that's like the Jeff Goldblum, the fly scientist, where it's like a lab coat and you have just like a fly's head.
Nice.
And then a bunch of those guys come out and try and kill you too.
That's fun. The last time I logged in, you had looked like, I'd left you the time before and you're riding a unicorn around, and then I log in and you look like an alien now. Yeah, yeah. Like a UFO.
Last time you logged in, I was dressed as Mrs. Claus riding a unicorn. And now I am a fly scientist riding in a UFO. Although I still have my unicorn is much faster than my UFO, but the UFO can obviously fly. So I still kind of, I switch between them.
It's a nice trade-off.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
So yeah, they built a temple deep underground. They made a sun golem to fight back against this tentacly moon monster. And they made a bunch of different traps to guard the temple and sealed it away, giving a key to a beast in the jungle to guard it.
And there are so many fucking traps in that temple.
Yeah, we ran into them.
Constantly, like, bring a danger sense potion if you're going to go, was the lesson I learned. And I went and I cleared all the traps. But
I remember
when you go, bring a danger sense.
Yeah, I just wouldn't touch the ground. I was using my hook and I was staying on the ceiling the whole way, because every time I touched the ground, I would take damage one way or another.
And darts, and they're dropping fucking jacks on your head.
Yeah. So they gave a key to a beast that lives in the jungle, also known as Plantera. Who Plantera is
the band Pantera.
Yes. And whenever you get kill Plantera, there's the achievement is a reference to Pantera. It's like Southern Garden or something.
The great Southern plant kill.
That's it. Yeah. Instead of the great Southern.
The great Southern trend kill.
Yeah, trend kill.
There you go. I only know walk. It's the only one I know.
Well, you got to make a plant joke with it then.
Walk. Easy.
There you go.
Easy. Give me another one. I only know the one Pantera song. As we were learning it to play in our high school band.
I remember. I was there. Yep.
High school band in our 30s. Just so the listeners know. We're learning to play Walk by Pantera.
Yep. Yeah, they also broke the solar tablet, an object capable of bringing the eclipse, therefore hiding the sun and empowering the moon, summoning many of Cthulhu's monsters.
They broke the tablet. They kept all the pieces in their temple. And there's many, many, many times more pieces than one tablet.
Yeah.
Then also the golem drops a fully formed tablet.
It's like that trick, you know, when you take the one piece of the chocolate out. Yeah. Exactly. And you put it back together. It's the infinite solar.
Just keep slicing the solar tablet diagonally and adding a one little piece of chocolate to it.
Dude, it's infinite reusable energy. It's how it works.
Infinite reusable solar eclipse.
Yeah. But the dryads, they didn't go and make a temple deep underground to hide out in. They took a more direct approach.
Okay.
They made an active effort to stop Cthulhu.
We're going
to
shoot the fucking moon.
This is actually how we get our a lot of the bosses, the early bosses that we see.
Okay. Because
to stop Cthulhu, they were doing their dryad magic. And then they ripped his eyes out. They ripped his spine out. They ripped his skeleton out. And we get...
Oh, the skeleton, Skeletor, or whoever, Skeletron?
Skeletron, Eye of Cthulhu, the Brain of Cthulhu.
Eye of Cthulhu and Brain of Cthulhu make sense. I was going to say Skeletron, I didn't realize, was his skeleton the whole time.
Yeah, and the Eater of Souls is his spine.
Oh, that's the worm, right? The big worm? Okay.
Big worm.
Okay.
Yeah, so
I mean, it sounds like the dryads were pretty fucking strong, honestly.
Yeah.
Why are we left to defeat the Moon Lord? Why doesn't the dryad NPC put in some fucking legwork here?
Well, because the aftermath of the war, all of the dryads except for one died. And canonically, the dryad we have is the last dryad.
Okay. And she's died a few times. You just get another one whenever she dies. A new one just shows up.
I was thinking, I'm like, I'm wondering what happens. Does it say like she regrew or do we always get the same name?
It's like an avatar and there's always one, you know?
Yeah.
It's just like they're reborn as soon as the old one dies.
Yeah. Well, the guide. So whenever you start a new game, your very first NPC is always the guide.
Yeah.
And he comes to help you out and you can ask him questions and he'll be like, well, the first thing you have to do is cut some trees. And then you have to make a pickaxe, or he'll say it in some cryptic way.
You just hit help, and he gives you the hint of we fought Fishron last night, and you get the hint for that is like, oh, I've heard there's some rare worm that lives in the mushroom biome. I wonder if you use it as bait, what would happen? And I did that, and then I fished a bunch. Nothing happened, and then I was talking with Jamie. I was like, yeah, I tried fishing with it. It didn't work, and it was like, oh, you have to fish in the ocean. Okay, I didn't try the ocean. I tried like a sky. I tried a lake in the clouds. I tried a lake in the jungle. And then I was like, I tried a lake during a blood moon. And I was like, well, I get, or a lake in the crimson. I tried a couple things. I was like, nothing's working.
Yeah, it's interesting. The guide is the one character that every time he dies, he comes back with a different name. So you can
The other one's not?
I'm pretty sure
No, not all of them, because I know the painter, I think they all have like changing names, because the painter, if you have Jim the painter, when he dies, he drops a cosmetic. He drops his Jim's hat.
Okay.
Essentially, which but he doesn't always spawn as Jim.
Okay. Well, the canonical reason that the guide always changes then is because there is a group of guides. That pass on all the information from generation to generation. So when one guide dies, they send you another guide from the circle of guides, and okay. he joins your team.
Interesting. Okay, so yeah. the Dryad may have, and this is from the wiki, the Dryad may have any of the following names. Lua error in module game text at line 78, bad. Argument number 1 to G sub string expected got table. And I don't think our Dryad had any of those names, so we might have like a super rare one.
I think we might. That sounds pretty cool. I haven't even seen anything about got table for them.
That is got table, excuse me.
Oh yeah. Dude, I was looking up old Terraria like glitches and stuff, and there's a cool one where if you made like almost like a G shape with your house, you could kind of like have a house that was there, but then there's like an overhang of wood, and the game for some reason would interpret that as a suitable housing for all NPCs, and it could never be filled. So all of them could move into a single block.
Oh, fun.
Yeah. There's this thing called, what are they called? Like hoiks, H-O-I-K.
Okay.
And so you take a single wood block and you hammer it so it's angled a certain way. Okay. And then you can replace a block on top of that, that whenever you jump into it, it zips you super fast in a certain direction.
Oh, yeah. So this happens to me randomly sometimes. You're running through the world and you use your claw, and then like you just like release your claw and you just shoot across like the next like whatever 50 feet or something, you know?
Right. Yeah.
I've always wondered.
So we could build those and set those up that like when you're in hell, you could just jump up and like zoom right back to the surface, like ultra fast or go up into the sky ultra fast and stuff. But that they left in the game on purpose because they thought it was fun. So Hoik still exists. Infinite NPCs in one house.
So the guide comes from this circle of guides, and that's interesting. Yeah. I don't know if we're going to talk about it. I don't know if it's in the lore, but when you summon Wall of Flesh, who I assume was like at one point the final boss, right? Probably right. in an earlier version of the game. To summon the final boss, you have to drop a voodoo doll of the guide into the lava, which these demons in hell imps are randomly carrying sometimes, these voodoo dolls of the guide, and you have to drop that in the lava, and your guide dies when that happens, and it summons the Wall of Flesh, right?
Yeah. We're kind of far from Wall of Flesh, and...
Okay.
How do I say it?
Keep going with what you were going to say then. We'll come back.
We're going to circle back to that. But the guy
is... There was like a circle of guides, I guess.
Yeah. No, yeah, in each generation there's a new one, and all of their knowledge is passed on, kind of like the giver over and over again. Wall of Flesh and the guides are intimately like intertwined in the lore. But first, before we get there, we can't even come close to the Wall of Flesh yet, because we are talking about a lunatic cultist right now, and the dungeon. So there's
a troll in the dungeons.
If the first thing you did whenever you join your game is not dig a hole, but instead you just started running to the right, you'd eventually find a dungeon with an old man outside who eventually becomes your tailor or your
clothier.
Yeah. But there's a curse there. If you're playing with a new friend, tell them to like meet you in the dungeon. Tell them to go down into the dungeon because there's going to be a big skeleton that just beats the hell out of them.
So I absolutely did make the mistake. Yeah. So you summon dungeon guardians who deal 1,000 damage per second as soon as they hit you, and they move at like a relatively fast speed, I guess. So like, and they have like a crazy amount of health, but 1,000 damage a second is like, I've been playing for a long time. I've gotten to max HP, and then you can get above max HP by finding these like random, gives you like 5 HP increments at a time. I'm at 460. So I feel like I'm at a pretty good HP. So 1,000 damage a second, just let that sink in. Right.
They, like, I think 500-600 is like really high HP.
And like Jamie was saying earlier, we're playing on medium core, which is you just drop all your stuff when you die. It's not hardcore. And it doesn't have any of the real challenge of hardcore. It just has the annoyance of like losing all your shit. It was a mistake to go medium core. But I made the mistake of being like, oh, I'm gonna like dig around the dungeon. Basically, and I was like picking around it. And I had a pickaxe which could dig through it. And I started digging through one of the walls. and one of them came up and like killed me. And then I realized like all my stuff fell right down into that hole. So I kept like jumping into that hole to pick up my stuff and then instantly dying.
Dude. And once you're in there, there's so many traps and like big old pits and stuff too. Yeah.
Exactly. It was silly.
So we have all of this stuff that happened with Cthulhu invading is 500 years before we start. Before we join the game.
So the war of the dryads dying out was 500 years before the start of the game.
Exactly. Okay.
So Felicity's old is what you're saying.
Very old. Yeah. Or Got Table, whatever it is.
Yeah. Got Table.
Got Table.
The G in GILF stands for Got Table.
Yes. So the lunatic cultist, he goes over to the dungeon and he kidnaps a mechanic. And he puts her all the way down into the dungeon and makes her work on mechanical body parts that would restore the Moon Lord to his former glory.
Okay.
The Moon Lord being also the final boss of the game, but the Moon Lord is Cthulhu too. So by the time you meet Cthulhu as the Moon Lord, he's not quite the same Cthulhu the 500 years prior.
Not the Cthulhu we know and love from pop culture either. A lot more color, I guess, than you'd expect. Although, yeah. I mean, I guess Lovecraft, like, never really drew the dang thing, right?
No. And, like, I have a picture from a video I watched, and he was, like, the green tentacle monster strolling in, but after being torn apart by dryads and then put together back together by mechanics, he has a different hue to him, I guess.
Gotcha.
Yeah. But this is they're going to put him back together. Cultist also curses a clothier and says, hey, turn me into a skeletal monster that guards the dungeon. So it is a cultist who turns himself into Skeletron the first time.
Okay. And he was like, dude, I'm a clothier by trade. I cannot stand making the exact same goddamn robe for every one of us cultists anymore. Please.
Yeah.
Please just give me another job. And they're like, cool, you're going to turn into a giant skeletal head with two big skeletal arms, and you'll fight anybody who challenges you during the nighttime.
Absolutely. Yep. So the lunatic cultist utilized the guide as well. He mentions him in lore papers as a helper for the player. He guides us when lost. Most of the advice leads the player down the path of the cultist as well. So it's unclear if the guide is pushing us like towards helping the cultists or against the cultists, but he's pushing us in that direction.
Okay.
Yeah. And this is where we come in. So you can come into the game right now and you're told to save the mechanic. Apparently if you talk to the guide enough, he'll tell you how to get your pickaxe, all that stuff, but he'll also tell you to go save the mechanic eventually.
Okay.
Most of the time, that will lead to us dying because
dying you go, right away.
Yeah, exactly. You
talk to the old man, he'll be like, "Free me! Come back at night and fight me to free me." And you'll be like, "Yeah, sure, maybe later." And then you hop down to the dungeon, and it's just, you just get wrecked.
Yep. And then this is the part where you kind of go back and you start digging and wait till you get your platinum gear and everything. And we're going to come back to the dungeon. I think it's a good time to take a quick break. But after this, we're going to come back into how you fight Skeletron, into all the boss progression, and into the end, which is the Moon Lord. Or is Moon Lord Cthulhu? Or is it his brother Steve? We'll find out. Talk to you after the break.
There's never been a faster or easier way to start your weight loss journey than with Plush Care. PlushCare accepts most insurance plans and gives you online access to board-certified physicians who can prescribe FDA-approved weight loss medications like Wegovy and Zepbound for those who qualify. Take charge of your health and speak with a board-certified physician about a weight loss plan that's right for you. Get started today at PlushCare.com/weightloss. That's PlushCare.com/weightloss. PlushCare.com/weightloss.
Millions of people have lost weight with personalized plans from Noom. Like Evan, who can't stand salads and still lost 50 pounds.
Salads generally for most people are the easy button, right? For me, that wasn't an option. I never really was a salad guy. That's just not who I am. But Noom worked for me.
Get your personalized plan today at Noom.com. Real Noom user compensated to provide their story. In 4 weeks, the typical Noom user can expect to lose 1 to 2 pounds per week. Individual results may vary.
Welcome back from the break. We've just passed the core of this planet we're drilling through. We're going to get to the other side. Actually, I was thinking about this, and I'm pretty sure Terraria is flat Earth. I think we can say that.
Yeah, there's, just like the real world. Yeah. Mm-hmm. As opposed to what, dude? Some kind of fucking, donut-shaped Earth?
Yeah, it doesn't wrap around. Doesn't wrap around. You can't keep walking and end up on the other side of it. You know, you get to the edges. Yeah.
The first time I played this time, I don't remember if I did this the first time I played, like 8 years ago when I last played Terraria. When I got to the ocean, I was like, oh, I'm going to go all the way to the end. I bet you I wrap around the other side. And it's like, nope, just a solid wall.
And there's even like unconfirmed, but actual hints, I guess, at other lands other than Terraria. Like, I guess there's seeds, so whichever one you end up on is your world. But you can go across, like the traveling merchant says, you wouldn't believe how much a dirt block sells for on the other side. Oh, yeah. So there's places for that are probably quite stony or maybe very a lot of water. They have trouble growing things.
Yeah, I know. So I looked it up right now because I remember hearing about this at some point. But there are special world seeds which you can get. Yeah. So there's like a drunk world, apparently. There's a not the bees world, which is just like all beehive everywhere. Yeah. There's like a bunch of different like
rant, tutorial like, world. There's a lot of them. I think just typing in Terraria as your seed will give you a certain world too.
Okay.
I haven't played around with a lot of that stuff, but there is a lot of flat terrarian earths out there.
Yeah.
So cool. So we finished off last before the break. We had gone to the dungeon, died, gone and geared up. And now we're finally going back. And we talk to this Clothier at night, get him to summon Skeletron. And as long as you're playing on the right difficulty, he's a breeze. And you got your gear.
Yeah. or if you're very good, if you're gooder at video games than James and I, which probably isn't that hard. But
no, that's it. Yeah, it's not only higher health pools, he also gets different moves and stuff the harder it gets. And he moves much quicker. We kill the Skeletron. We go in and we save the mechanic. So when that unlocks the mechanic at your house, so she can help you do different things. Sorry, I completely lost where I was my thing.
I'm reading about the drunk world right now. So,
that's good.
It's always night, never day. The starting NPC is not the guide, but it's the party girl instead, which is fun. The dungeon's underneath a tree.
Okay, yeah. I found where I was. You save the Clothier, you save the mechanic, and you continue on until the world's evil to try and figure things out. So usually the next part that you'd end up in is the Corruption or the Crimson.
Mm-hmm.
Crimson is like this red stuff. Corruption is this purple stuff. It spreads. We were talking about it earlier. It's really annoying. It'll ruin your fast travel network. Ruin your NPC's homes. But if you go there and you destroy 3 of these balls with bombs underneath the ground, then you'll summon either the Brain of Cthulhu or the Eater of Worlds.
Depending on which world seed you've generated, which if it has the Corruption, you summon Brain of Cthulhu. If it's the Corruption, you summon the Destroyer of Worlds, who's Cthulhu's spine, apparently.
Yes.
And if it's the Crimson, then you summon Brain of Cthulhu.
Exactly.
The Brain of Cthulhu.
Exactly. So you break one by accident. You hear screams echo around you. You break another one and you hear even louder screams. And then you break the third one and you fight this ancient piece of a Lovecraftian monster.
And we kind of talked about like how I play more of my games with strategy guides these days because I just don't have the time. I can see like if you're young, the only way that you can break these spheres at this point in the game is with bombs. And like your hint to do that is that you don't have a pickaxe yet that can mine the Crimson or the Corruption, right? So you have to excavate all of it with bombs. So I can kind of imagine somebody stumbling on this, like you're just throwing bombs down to try and like dig through this to see what you can find. And you accidentally break one of those things. Maybe you don't even see it because you can throw bombs off screen. So maybe it's like you just see like screams begin to echo around you. You're like, what?
Yeah.
Like boss music, right?
Yep. So yeah, that happens. You fight that, and that's the next step. Because with like Demonite or Crimsonite, the next level ore, you have to also have pieces from that boss, either the Brain of Cthulhu or the World Eater, to craft the next pickaxe, which allows you to go down and then eventually get your obsidian stuff. Yeah, so the lunatic cultist sees how the player manages to kill Skeletron. He sees how you killed the Brain of Cthulhu. You've seen the Eye of Cthulhu you've already fought much earlier in the game. That's usually the first boss that people fight, if not King Slime. So they're confident that the player is capable of fighting the Wall of Flesh, which is the last boss in pre-hard mode leading into hard. Yeah. It's going to make makes the whole world harder, but he sees you're ready. So he starts to give the voodoo dolls to the high-ranking demons in hell. Says, here, put this in your pocket. Hold on to this.
Okay, so it's your boy Cthulhu that gave them the voodoo dolls, essentially.
The cultists did, yeah.
Or the cultists, excuse me.
Yeah, because we're not sure if the cultists are on the side of Cthulhu or not.
Or against Cthulhu.
Yeah. So then you get those, and the cultists... So you have all the voodoo dolls dropping, and if you throw the voodoo doll into the lava, it will kill your guide, while also killing the voodoo doll, and it summons a two-eyed big mouth thing that like takes up the entirety of the screen vertically and moves completely across the map. So people usually build a bridge.
Yeah, he rushes you. Yeah, which like I had seen the Wall of Flesh fight before playing the game, but like it's these random enemies who are carrying it, who carrying the voodoo dolls, who when you kill those enemies, they will drop it and you're in hell. So there's lava everywhere. So there's a good chance that you just kill one of them and it just falls into hell. And then this giant wall gets summoned.
Yeah.
And you can get like recall potions. So the streamer that I watched play this is what happened to him basically. But again, he went in completely blind, was playing hardcore mode. So it's like once your character's dead, your character's dead. And he would start a new world and a new character every time his character died. And so like he gets to hell, kills one of these things, and it just like drops in the lava. Because of course it does, and like he's not ready for it. He doesn't have a bridge built or anything like that. Just this wall of flesh. But you can get potions of recall, which bring you back to your spawn point. They're disabled when you're fighting the wall of flesh. Oh. so it's just like you're just like, okay. He's like spamming the button to like recall back, and it's like, nope, you can't do that while the wall of flesh is summoned, basically.
Some fun
trivia, just because we talked about it a little bit earlier, for the voodoo dolls. And again, this is kind of talking about how I love the idea. I keep talking about this because I love the idea of progressing in this game naturally. I just don't have the time to do it. I talk about this streamer who I really enjoyed watching experience this, but like he was doing it for a living at the time. So it's like he has all the time in the world to spend 70 hours to get to a wall of flesh or whatever, which I just don't. So the way you figure out this is what you have to do is you talk to some of the NPCs. So the guide who will help you if you hit the help button with these cryptic hints tells you, when you are ready to challenge the Keeper of the Underworld, you will have to make a living sacrifice. Everything you need for it can be found in the Underworld. There's two other NPCs you can get who reference it. There's the arms dealer who says, I heard there is a doll that looks very similar to the name of your guide somewhere in the Underworld. I'd like to put a few rounds in it, kind of hinting that you should maybe destroy the thing.
Our arms dealer, by the way, was named Darnell.
Shout out to Darnell.
Yeah.
Friend of the show.
Yeah.
And then you can get a nurse NPC who says, I need to have some serious talks with the name of your guide. How many times a week can you come in with severe lava burns? So I guess those are the first two NPCs you get after the guide. You get the nurse, then you get the arms dealer,
So all the clues are right there, yeah.
Yeah.
In the lore itself, it's unclear how these are mixed together, like why you have to sacrifice the guide. Some people say that the Wall of Flesh is the guardian of Terra or of Terraria, I guess.
Okay.
And can only be summoned by killing the guide because they share the same soul. So like the wall of flesh is like the final guarding to let you into the next part. But you have to get there with the guide's help, and the guide's end goal is to fight you as the wall of flesh. But that's not for sure canon. It's one interpretation, but the wall of flesh is more good than bad, is trying to gate people from getting into this hard mode, unlocking, waking all these extra bosses and stuff.
The guy calls him the keeper of the underworld. So it is some sort of like guardian of that place, I guess. And you know, the potentials therein. But I guess it is funny that like dropping the guide voodoo doll into the lava summons the wall of flesh. Does the voodoo doll like turn into it? You know, like,
right.
There's so many more questions than answers, I think.
No, yeah, exactly. Yeah. So once you kill the wall of flesh, this unleashes the souls of light and dark. Once you get into hard mode, you can start like farming all these different souls off of different types of enemies. You get like soul of night, soul of light, soul of flight, soul of
fright, sight, and might are the three boss ones.
They all rhyme, don't they?
I think they all rhyme.
I just realized that.
I didn't realize it until we were just saying it out loud now. I was like, oh, damn. Yeah. Hey. Soul of sight, fright, might, night, light.
There we go. So these are like different souls that you can start to farm to craft even crazier things. Like this is where you start to get wings or jetpacks. You start to get your flying mounts. This is where the game starts to get really cool in terms of the gear that you can get. The Rod of Discord is a popular item. That's a 1 in 500 drop off of Elementals, I think.
Okay.
And that gives you... It's basically an 8-second teleport anywhere you can click on the screen.
Oh, damn.
So it's really useful.
Like 8-second cooldown.
8-second cooldown. It's an item. You switch to it and you can teleport anywhere you can click.
Cool.
So Rod of Discord, I think at the highest levels of play, is something that you need to farm. That's something I kind of wanted to go farm too. Like now that we've figured out how to connect statues to buttons and just brutally slaughter unicorns
all day.
Yeah.
I want to be Mrs. Claus riding a unicorn.
I hadn't killed a single unicorn yet. And I log in and Ethan's just like, Dick McBigley has killed the 1,150th unicorn. I'm like, Jesus, I haven't killed anything that many times. He's just grinding these things.
Oh, yeah.
And it's awful because there's like these big old haunches of meat, like their whole legs are left behind. Yeah, when you're killing them.
It's gruesome for sure.
Yeah.
Hey, I would just summon them. They came for me. Okay.
True.
I was just summoning them. They stepped to me.
You set up a 0.25 second timer spawn and it's their fault.
That was your idea. Okay. I was pressing a button to summon unicorns into my world.
You had the good, like, farm raised grass fed unicorns, and then I came in with the factory farming afterwards to pump them out. So this is, you get into hard mode, this is where the game gets really interesting, this is where the gear gets really cool. And what do you do next? This is where the mechanics creations start finding their way into the world. So that's why you have to fight the twins, which is the Eye of Cthulhu but two times, and now a mecha boss. The Something of Worlds, which is Destroyer of Worlds mecha version, and
Eater of Worlds,
Eater of Worlds, maybe. I think Eater of Worlds is the first one.
So is the Destroyer of Worlds then? I don't know.
I forget. It's not that important. It's just you have to fight like three bosses that you already fought that are pieces of Cthulhu, but the mechanized versions of them that were created by the mechanic in the dungeon. I logged in after like a long break and Ethan was there and we had all the summons and we just killed them all back to back after having a really hard time with stuff. Me having a hard time with them solo.
It's the Destroyer is the hard mode Eater of Worlds.
Nice. So you defeat all the mechs and then the dormant floral guardian of the jungle, Plantera, wakes up. So this is the southern plant based off of Pantera, that is rooted in there. Her roots go through the entire jungle. So she's connected to everything that happens in the jungle. Okay. And these big red bulbs start to form. And if you try and pick one to bring it home, or these pink bulbs, break one to take it home, then Plantera spawns and you have to fight Plantera.
Yeah. But why do I hear boss music?
Exactly.
And it is funny when you, so we knew what we were doing whenever we went to summon Plantera. But I, again, could see, like, if you just like randomly hit one of those bulbs, it gives you a line. I don't know what the line is exactly, but it does give you like one of those lines, like you hear screams in the distance. So like something chilling. And then if you look at your map, like if you have your mini map open, you just see this giant plant like slowly moving across the map because it comes from like way off screen and crawls across the jungle to get to you, basically.
Yeah, super cool.
Yeah, which is very fun.
Then once you beat Plantera, Plantera drops the key to the Lizardian Temple or Lizard Temple. That's where we go and defeat the Sun Golem. So once we go there, we beat the Sun Golem. We then gain access to the cultists at the dungeon. You can, in the middle here, also go see the Empress of Light. She's the embodiment of the Spirit of Light. I didn't actually fight her. She's the Fae Goddess of the Hollow.
Okay.
She's a temporary guardian of the Hollow, of the world after the death of the Waff. I'm not sure what the Waff is.
The waifu?
Yeah.
So the
wall of flesh, wall of flesh.
The wall of flesh.
The wet ass wall of flesh.
So the Hollow is, so there's this corruption or crimson in the world, which is like this very dark, very monstrous, very, I think Lovecraftian is fair to say, zones in the map. When you, access hard mode, I don't know if it's always the tundra area or under the tundra area. In our world, it was anyway.
We got, I think it's like often sand areas, but we got tundra. Okay. Yeah.
Yeah. So it's randomly spawns and it is like the complete, it's where you farm souls of light. You farm souls of night in the hard mode corrupted zones. You farm souls of light in the Hollow, which is like pink and crystals. And there's this stuff called pearl stone. And that's where unicorns spawn. Like it's very, I think if it spawns on the surface too, like the background becomes all like rainbows in the background and everything you see.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah. When we dug down deep enough, that's where you can fight Queen Slime too.
Yeah.
Who's a really good first boss for pre-hard mode. Or for hard mode. Yeah.
For post pre-hard mode.
There's also like a really small place called the Shimmer. Have you found this yet?
I don't think so.
So
what does it look like?
It's,
because it's not like you get like a big, it's not like you get a big like banner whenever you enter a new zone or anything like that.
Different though.
I've definitely never seen this.
There's a pool and you can throw items in and it'll like change the properties of the items.
Oh yeah. I've seen this a bunch because like you can do this to NPCs too. Like you can like shimmer transmogrify them or something. Yeah. But yeah, I have seen this just in like, I have seen, like you look up a guide on how to make an item and it's like, if you shimmer transmute this, then you get so-and-so, right?
Yeah. And there's like certain ancient items that some people want to farm. But if you just get the normal version and throw it into the shimmer pond, they become ancient. They just like age thousands of years. And anyways, shimmer, I haven't found it in our world. It's possible to get a world without it. We might be able to find it too. So
we'll have to go look for it.
Mm-hmm. So the golem, he's holding the end of the world away. He dies and the death cultist grab the tablet from in there and start doing some chanting. That's where you can go up and fight the cultists. And then by defeating the
entrance to the dungeon.
Yeah.
Nothing to do with the shimmer.
And by defeating the cultists at the dungeon, you get these four spires that activate, and you can summon the Moon Lord, which has been said to be Cthulhu himself re-put together.
Mm-hmm.
The devs have said it's not Cthulhu, it's his brother Steve.
Okay.
They said that in Discord, but canon... Oh. Yeah, we don't know anymore.
Ooh, I'm not letting Discord moderators run my life, okay? They don't decide the Lord. David, You don't decide the lore. Okay. We do. We do. And I'm saying it is Steve. So
that's the lead up to the last boss, which I think is very cool. Let's see if I have any. So the lunatic cultists use the power of the pillars. It's unclear if you killed the cultist, which allowed the Moon Lord to come out, or the cultist kind of like tricked you into sacrificing them to summon the Moon Lord, or it's unclear if what if we the bad all along, if we never started killing things from the beginning, if the Moon Lord would have just stayed away. But in the end, you do.
We kill the Moon Lord. So yeah,
if we put our gamer pants on, we kill the Moon Lord.
Yeah, I don't know. Fishron killed us, so we'll see.
Yeah, exactly. Terraria, ton of fun. It goes on sale like all the time.
It is. It is a lot of fun. It goes on sale all the time. I can't imagine. I don't know what its price is. I'm gonna guess it's a $20 price point, but $6.49 Canadian. So it's $5 US.
It might $5.
Be on sale right now.
You'll get your money's worth because there's
$13.
It's 10 years of development and a $5 game.
You get a 4-pack. So that's for you, a copy for you and 3 friends for $20 Canadian right now at time of recording. It is the winter sale, but it's $30 Canadian
when there you it's go. Not the winter sale, so. Convince a friend to put, hey, look, I'll buy everyone the game if you put the $5 up for the dedicated server, and then there you go.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, and you don't need a dedicated server. You can play locally on someone's PC. It's just when that person's not running Terraria. When that person's not running the world, other people won't be able to sign in. So we got a dedicated server, which again costs $5 a month.
Yeah. It ate all my stuff lately.
So. I wouldn't recommend G Portal. I would recommend, another service maybe, because G Portal's been pretty bad for us.
It's been really good for us, the dedicated server, because we definitely have different gaming shifts. And especially over the holiday, I was like,
we overlap. It's the end of my shift overlaps with the beginning of Jamie's, basically.
Or no, I'd say that is also true to me when I'm finishing, you're getting on, because I'm finishing at like 6 or 7 and then you're getting up with the kid. And
exactly. Sometimes in the morning we do overlap too. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. We have like the two opposite, but it's fun though, because you log in and like, oh, like I've just been sleeping now. Like, let's see what Ethan's done today. And you can find all the things he's been building. And it's all very good fun.
I think in these games, I like to be like a base mom, you know, like I like to work on like, I built a home for all the NPCs. I'm like, I'm going to make sure that we have all our NPCs and have room for all our NPCs. At least if I can't build it across the map, then
I haven't done any of that, but I also did log in.
You did do enough of that just to get your selfish pylon so that you could teleport to your base whenever you die and respond.
When I needed to.
Yeah, exactly.
But I also did like wake up in the morning one day and just like made our entire hell bridge after we had to reset the server.
Yeah, and I mean, talking earlier about how like combining trinkets is like complicated. I went and just like raided your chests for like trinkets. I was like, I know a bunch of these combine into other stuff, so I'm just gonna like combine stuff for them because I have the combine table. So
Well, cool, man. I might log in after this now and try and put my life back together a little bit.
Maybe just farm some souls of light or something. I'll give you the contaminator. You can spray down your hose down your house covered in monster jizz.
Hell yeah.
Cool. Thanks so much for listening, everybody. If you enjoy the show, we hope you'll tell your friends about it and leave us a 5-star review on your podcast app of choice. It really does help the show continue to grow. If you're interested, you can check out the Loreboys Instagram, Loreboys Podcast, I think it is on Instagram. Pete will post some Transformer mini stuff, some personal life stuff, and then also episode art for the episodes, kind of work in progress stuff, and then also the final pieces as they get done. He does unique art for every single episode, if you didn't know. So check us out there, Loreboys Podcast on Instagram. Jamie, do you have anything you want to talk about? Maybe the Discord?
I was laughing. I mean, I wanted to bring it up when Pete was here, but he's not here. Because Pizza was like, well, art Instagram's doing better than girls who have big butts on Instagram. And I was like, I looked the other day and there's like pages dedicated to mug root beer memes that do much better than our Instagram. So I don't know about this benchmarking that we're doing.
Also, but, like, Pete is just cherry picking. There are Instagram pages about women with big butts who do much, much, much better than us. Yes. The mug root beer meme pages, I'm sure.
Yes. And just so all of you know, whenever he says we had like so much growth this week, he means like we got five new people.
But that's great. Anyways, five people who we appreciate you following.
Well, yeah. Enjoy them. I love them all.
We got to dig at Pete, though.
Oh, got to dig at Pete. Got to. if you want to talk to us on the Discord, discord.gg/loreboys. We got some new lurkers in this week. Happy to see it. Been chatting with the folk. I saw there's people hanging out for New Year's Eve last night. Pete made an appearance. There was David and Fitty, and I'm sure there was others that I'm not
people. Shout out to you guys. You guys renamed one of the voice chats 202 Four Boys Podcast, and I don't know what that means, but I'm here for it.
It's Pete did it. It's whatever he did.
Crazy Pete. What can you do? Hop in the Discord if you want to chat to us. If you want to send us an email, contact@loreboyspodcast.com or loreboyspodcast@gmail.com. You can get in touch with us, send us some emails, and we'll read them on air at some point. Never know when it's going to be.
Haven't checked those in a while. I wonder how we're doing.
We don't check them until the mailbag. So it's usually we get like 6 to 12 months of just backlog emails. Sometimes we ask people to send us jokes about, make some jokes about some stuff that we talked about today. Say the G in GIL stands for Gyat table. And we're talking about a year from now when we do the next mailbag.
Also, make fun of Pete in the Discord.
Oh my God. Make fun of Pete in the Instagram. Send us emails making fun of Pete and his Instagram because he's not here right now.
He doesn't know what's going on. I was genuinely very sick and I came together with an episode. He had four beers for New Year's last night and now he can't make the episode.
Exactly. In Pete's defense, I've pushed many an episode to Tuesday night. I like to think my excuse is better than his. That's it. So that's it. And I say that selfishly.
I with him not able to defend himself, I'll agree.
Exactly. If you guys want to support the show financially, we do have a Patreon, patreon.com/theloreboys, where you'll get access to some bonus content that we release every week where we spend a lot more time just kind of talking about our lives, what we're playing. More of a quote unquote traditional podcast where two to three white men will get together and just talk about their lives and how absolutely enthralling it is. We play a couple games, loser titles, you know, we release some exclusive stuff like episode picks, things like that. So check it out if you're interested. patreon.com/theloreboys. We really appreciate all the patrons that we do have. We forgot to look up if we have new patrons this week at the top of this episode, but if you are new, shout out, kisses, we'll shout you out next week. I promise.
Yeah, we will.
We took a week off and we completely forgot how to do this. Pete got sick on four beers, like we're out of control.
I couldn't even talk yesterday. So you're welcome for getting this one out at least.
I feel great. My daughter slept 11 hours last night. This is the best I've felt in months. And if you guys don't trust Patreon, we do have Lore Boys Prime, of course, where we are recruiting an army to make fun of Pete behind his back via email. So please send us those emails. Just making fun of Pete and the Lore Boys Instagram, because he won't know what's going on when we do a mailbag someday, and it'll be so funny to watch the confusion on his face. And Dean and I will probably forget until we end up reading them, and then we'll have a knowing look that we share with each other when we realize what's going on.
That's a great idea.
So that's the contact the Lore Boys Podcast or loreboyspodcast@gmail.com. And we'll read them on air at some point. Thank you. Goodbye. Lore, I think that was House to the Lore Boys.
Bye.
I forgot how to sign off.